You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Four on a Monday afternoon. Welcome into the Gym Class. Yes, I'm still here. Scott Unash out for a couple days. Spencer Wagon filling in for Scott here today. Joined by Mark Dukes in just a moment. The show brought to you by friends at Dupaco Community Credit Union. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to dupaco.com. Plenty to talk about on a Monday. It's a recap of a busy sports weekend. The NBA in-game stuff is behind us. We got hockey to talk about. We got NBA draft to look ahead to this week. Also some recruiting news on the Iowa football side of things. Plenty of baseball, too. College World Series going on as we speak. Looks like Auburn's cut into the deficit a little bit against Stanford here. We'll get an update there in a few minutes as well. Also talk about the U.S. Open. Fun to watch the U.S. Open always, but rather interesting ending to this year's U.S. Open, and we'll get to that as well in the next hour. 319-366-1600, number to know, or talk or text line wide open for you here as always on a weekday afternoon here on KGYM. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, we appreciate it as always. Mark, how are you?
Very well, Spencer. Good to be with you again, and thanks for filling in with Scott.
Absolutely.
And, I don't know about you. This isn't my kind of weather, Spencer.
No, it is. My phone went off in the middle of Spencer on sports just a few minutes ago to alert us of a heat advisory.
Yeah.
So I'm not a fan. I've said before, I get one season to complain about, and I chose winter a while ago before I started working here. So I got to save my complaints, but I'm not a fan of 90-plus degree weather.
I hear you, because when it gets to 10 below, then we're complaining about that, too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so hopefully everybody had a good Father's Day weekend, made the best of it. I know I did with family and grandkids and whatnot, and that's always a blast. And now onward to a new week.
Yeah, a busy week. Like I said, NBA regular season's behind us. Still kind of in that... kind of in that holding pattern. You know, there's football news coming out, but the real news doesn't come out until we get toward the end of July when training camps start up. Then we start talking preseason, all that different things. But there's plenty of headlines in the world. And like I said, we've got one particularly of interest with the NBA draft. And we'll talk more about that later on in this show. I know tomorrow we've got David Eckholt joining us from 24/7 Sports. He's going to talk all things Hawkeyes, but there's lots going on, including the U.S. Open, and that just wrapped up this weekend. A lot of talk with the lead up to it. Of course, you have the LIV golfers that are back, not with the LIV tournament. You saw Phil Mickelson miss the cut. Varied results with how those or that segment of the golf community did. But in the end, Matt Fitzpatrick, the one coming out on top, disappointing finish again for Will Zalatoris. So when all is said and done,
yeah, when second place can be disappointing, that was disappointing because he had a chance to win it. And Fitzpatrick is kind of a popular winner, even though he's from England and Americans may not root for him all too often. Not many Englishmen have won this tournament, the U.S. Open. Nick Faldo, certainly, and others. But it was great theater down in the end. And if you're a golf fan, I think you appreciate it. If you're just a casual fan, you didn't have Tiger, you didn't have Phil, you didn't have Justin Thomas, you didn't have Spieth, you didn't have a lot of those guys that, quote-unquote, moved the needle.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it was terrific golf. Fitzpatrick hit 17 of 18 greens. That's tough to do on any course. And I think really a popular winner, especially in Great Britain. But I think here in the States, he had never won a tournament in the United States. And lo and behold, it's the U.S. Open that he prevails. And you mentioned the LIV golfers. They didn't do that well.
No.
I'm not even sure who the highest finisher was because they were not in contention. Phil missed a cut. Oosthuizen missed a cut. And I think only three of the LIV golfers made the cut.
Yeah, and that's certainly interesting to see. And, you know, you don't know what's in their head. You know, I mean, coming off the, you know, this first brand new thing and you know, coming back to a PGA Tour event after facing such scrutiny for their involvement, period, in this new tournament that's had a lot of controversy surrounding it with how it's being funded and the prize money and all this different stuff. You know, makes you wonder if, you know, maybe was it just a bad weekend or was there, you know, kind of a mental aspect to the game? I'm speaking, you know, kind of as a non-golfer here. Just there's so many different things that could have played into their performances or lack thereof this weekend. I'm not sure you're ever going to get to the bottom of it, but it could be, you know, a number of different factors.
Yeah, up until the LIV tournament in London last week, Phil Mickelson hadn't played since February.
Right.
And he watched him. He's clearly out of form. Putting and various aspects of his game. So probably wasn't all too surprising that he missed the cut. But just another reminder between Fitzpatrick and Zalatoris and Scheffler and others. There's so many great young players in the game. And I think Zalatoris has really got the game to win a couple, three majors, if not more. It's just getting over that hump, and that's the tough part. And maybe Fitzpatrick will take off now. I don't know.
Yeah, Zalatoris finishing 1-under 69, third career second place major finish.
So yeah.
At some point, he's going to break through. Yeah, you get the feeling. It just wasn't this weekend.
No doubt about it. He's a good, solid, confident player, and I thought he made the putt on the 18th hole. To force it into a playoff, but it slid by, and he was very gracious. First people he sought out was Fitzpatrick's mom and dad, and said, you know, if I can't win it, no better guy to win it than your son. And I thought that was special, and as we bridge the generations in golf, Fitzpatrick isn't off the course for very long, and Jack Nicklaus calls him.
Mm, yeah.
Calls him, congratulates him. Fitzpatrick had won a member guest tournament at Jack's place, and they kidded between the two of them. That was his only victory in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this one's just a little bit bigger.
Sure, yeah. Well, and it's so cool to see that kind of generational reach out. You know what I mean?
Like, yes.
You know, I mean, you see that in other sports, but you don't see it. Quite to the, you know, you see a legend of the game calling someone who just won their first PGA Tour event. You see that quite often when somebody kind of finally mm-hmm. breaks through, and that's really cool to see. One thing we talked briefly about the LIV golfers and how they did this weekend. One other interesting piece of news from the golf world, and Mark, I'm not sure if you saw this, ESPN had this earlier today. Their CEO, Greg Norman, saying that the new tour, the LIV tour, going to apply for official world golf ranking points consideration as of today. I'm assuming they have done that today, if they have not done it already. Norman saying that the LIV Invitational Series has a, quote, very compelling, end quote, application after working closely with the technical committee to understand the process of the official world golf ranking. So, They are pursuing this world golf ranking and becoming, I guess, kind of the real thing, that alternative, I guess you could say, to the PGA Tour that they're striving to be. It seems like
Greg can have all the opinions he wants, but it's not going to happen so long as these LIV events are 54 holes.
Right,
54 holes, shotgun start, no cut. The World Golf Rankings only recognize those events that are or scheduled to be 72-hole events.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they're going to change just for this tour. Again, Greg can have he can be as proud as he wants of this tour, but as long as it's 54-hole events, I don't see it happening.
Another piece to this puzzle that ESPN reports on, too, PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan is one of eight members of the Board of Governors of the official World Golf Ranking. And
not a minor thing.
Right, exactly. Greg Norman suggested, he was on an interview on Fox News Saturday night, said, well, I think Jay Monahan should recuse himself from this process, this voting process. And largely the argument based on comments Monahan made to Jim Nantz right after the Live tournament was announced or had just gotten underway. Of course, Monahan talked with Nantz at the RBC Canadian Open earlier this month and basically said, we have a right to suspend these 17 golfers and do what we want to do to protect our tour. And Greg Norman, of course, disagrees with that position. So it's still the battle of words.
This could end up in litigation in a courtroom somewhere. I don't think we've heard the end of the two sides going at it head to head. But I don't expect Norman's application to be accepted, whether Monahan's on the committee or not. Rules are rules, dude. Mm-hmm. Come on.
The next Live event is coming up, not this week, but next week, if I'm not mistaken, same time as the John Deere Classic.
That's correct.
So you get to choose which one. Although I know Live stuff is only on YouTube as of right now when it comes to where you can watch it. So I still think more eyes will be on what's happening over in Silvis. But
I think so, too. A lot of these LIV tour guys are not apt to play in the John Deere Classic anyway.
Right.
And by the way, later on in the week, we'll have Claire Peterson, executive director of the John Deere Classic, on our show. And this is Claire's last year after years and years of service and developing that tournament into what it is today. So something else to look forward to.
Very cool. Very cool. 319-366-1600 as the Gym Class rolls on here for a Monday afternoon. Appreciate your calls, your texts, your thoughts on anything happening in the sports world. I mentioned, Mark, it's an interesting week when it comes to local sports here because you have the NBA draft coming up here this Thursday night. And I opened Spencer on Sports kind of talking about where we stand as of today, and we're going to see a local athlete, not just University of Iowa, but, of course, Cedar Rapids Prairie, Keegan Murray. Hear his name called in the NBA draft on Thursday. And that's huge news for the local area, for the Iowa men's basketball team, for everyone involved. I know that's, you know, just a very basic statement to make, but it's great to see, and this hard work pay off, and it's big for the Iowa men's basketball program, no doubt.
Iowa hasn't had a player draft in the first round since Ricky Davis 24 years ago. And the highest drafted Iowa Hawkeye ever, Fred Brown, he was taken sixth overall. And you've seen the same mocks as I have.
Mm-hmm.
Could be Sacramento at four. Could be somebody moving up to trade with Sacramento.
Right.
Could be five. Could be six. About Halliburton and Keegan Murray getting together
in
Indiana. It's going to be a special night, and I know Prairie Basketball sent out a tweet or a Facebook message, I don't remember which, today. They're going to have a watch party out at the high school in the Commons area Thursday night. I think doors open at 6 or 6:15. Anybody free to join the celebration out at Prairie? There's going to be a few people there, I think.
I think there will be, yeah. Few people and a few TV cameras too, I would imagine. But you've got that event going on, and like we said, a big moment for Keegan, and maybe we're talking about the same thing for Chris next year. Who knows? But like you said, Fred Brown, all the way back in '71, the highest drafted Hawkeye ever. The last in the top 10 was Ronnie Lester. Back in 1980, I mentioned Mike Loss over at the Gazette has kind of the facts and figures surrounding this this moment for Iowa basketball. And, you know, 1998, that's, you know, I mean, I'm going to make everybody feel old. I was eight.
Ricky Davis came out early as well.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, and he had a very solid career. Mm-hmm. He was drafted by Charlotte, if I'm not mistaken. He's in Boston for a while.
Double-digit years in the league, I think.
Yeah, and he was on the Clippers, too, if I'm not mistaken, there, too. So he had some good years in the NBA, you know, represented Iowa well. But it's just, and we all know why it's gotten to this point with, you know, there's a number of factors that contribute to it. But I think that Iowa basketball team has not had a first-round pick since 1998. There's been plenty of picks. There's been five, in fact, since 2000, but all second-round picks. Some very good players there drafted. Of course, Aaron White, Joe Wieskamp, Luka Garza. Both Wieskamp and Garza hearing their names called last year and performing pretty well in their first season in the league when they've had their opportunities. Of course, the G League has helped guys like that, second-round picks, get an opportunity to build their skills and, you know, latch on with a club. Or sometimes you see guys move around a bit within the G League or within different teams on two-way contracts, and they finally get their shot, like a Gary Payton II, who just won a championship with Golden State, or Jordan Poole, who won a championship here with Golden State as well. So it remains to be seen how Keegan, of course, will do in his first year in the NBA. It's got to be about fit, of course, but there's some interesting possibilities with, you mentioned Indiana, Tyrese Haliburton there, Keegan Murray potentially going there, Detroit at number five, Luka Garza and Keegan Murray again, on the same team. There's a chance for him to come in and contribute right away.
You follow the NBA closer than I do. What would be a Sacramento's not a good landing spot, is it?
Not necessarily. And they've missed the playoffs 16 straight years. Their front office, you know, they seem like they commit to one thing for a little while and then they move on real quick. Look at Tyrese Haliburton, the guy you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
He was a first-round pick for the Kings, and less than 2 years later, he shipped out of town. So that's, you know, that's cause for concern. If it is Sacramento, obviously, you know, the situation is the situation, but you also have a chance to make, you know, as an individual, Keegan Murray will have a chance to improve that situation on his own if he's able to. But if there's one you want to avoid, and again, you really have no control over it, it's probably Sacramento. The Pistons are seemingly in this constant state of rebuild lately too. You know, they had the number one pick last year with Cade Cunningham. So that's a piece to build around right there. Obviously, they're still trying to fine tune that lineup, and they've traded away some big pieces to get those picks, and they've struggled on the court. Indiana feels like they were in kind of contention to be kind of in the playoffs. They've had some good teams. They've had some bad teams. Maybe they need an extra piece. I don't see, you know, all the consensus mock drafts that that I've looked at. I'm sure you have too, Mark. Are all kind of saying that 4-6 range.
Mm-hmm.
But you mentioned the possibility of a trade, too. There is that possibility. I think Sacramento's been rumored to be possibly moving that pick to another team. So maybe another team swoops in front of Detroit or Indiana and really likes Keegan Murray and takes him there.
Seems to be a lot of trades in the NBA draft.
There are. Doesn't
it? Yeah.
There are. Sometimes teams make picks for other teams.
Right.
You know, you see a guy get drafted by, you know, Milwaukee or you know, Chicago or whoever, and then they end up trading the rights to that player mm-hmm. to another team for maybe another pick, or maybe it's part of a trade package where you have, like, a mid to top tier superstar that goes, you know, to a certain team. Because of the way the NBA works, you need to have, like, a balance out of salaries or whatever it may be. So maybe that's what you see, but there's a lot of different factors that could play into it coming up this week. But it's a big moment nonetheless for Iowa, for the Eastern Iowa community with Keegan Murray getting his name called, hearing his name called. You will hear it called coming up later on this week. Consensus 1 through 3, and it's not set in stone, obviously, but the top three, highlighted this earlier today on Spencer on Sports 2. Most people thinking number one, number two, number three in some order like this is going to be Jabari Smith from Auburn, Chet Holmgren from Gonzaga, and then Paolo Banchero from Duke. Then the guy that is seemed to be pegged ahead of Keegan Murray quite a bit is Jaden Ivey from Purdue, and rightfully so. Very good basketball player. Plenty of teams out there think he's a future star in that moment or in that position for the NBA.
Comes down to need, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we'll see how things play out, but. It's going to be interesting to follow how things all play out coming up here on Thursday. We do have the draft for you on KGYM, 6 o'clock Thursday night. We're following our local programming. We start things up with ESPN Radio's coverage. I mentioned Mike Halas's stats and figures at the Gazette. Interesting stats here. Since Iowa's last first-round pick in 1998 with Ricky Davis, Michigan State has had 11 players taken in the first round. Indiana and Michigan have had 9. Ohio State has had 8. Maryland, 7. Illinois, 5. Wisconsin has had 4 first-rounders since Ricky Davis has been taken. Minnesota's had 3. Purdue's had 2. And even Rutgers has had a first-rounder since 1998. Iowa State, by the way, has had 5 first-rounders.
And that streak's going to end.
And it will.
Yeah.
But interesting to see how many players have been taken since Iowa's last in 1998.
Good stuff, Mike.
319-366-1600. Jim from Kyoto chiming in, thinking Chet Holmgren going to be a bust, in his opinion.
What did he... He's a sophomore, is that right? He played 2 years?
Yes.
In Gonzaga?
Yes.
Yeah. So he's got some development to do.
Right. Yeah, Chet Holmgren, Oklahoma City, actually listed as a freshman.
Mm.
So yeah, I mean he's talented. He's a lot. I mean, so many of these guys are still have some developing to do, especially if you come out early. So thinking that they're going to contribute and be an all-star in year one is. It's a tough ask, but at the same time, if you are drafted that high in the draft, you're expected to come in and contribute.
He could really get beat up, and I mean, he's 7'1" and weighs less than I do.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
So he's got a. He can go outside. He can hit a three every now and then. He's got a mid-range jump shot. But if he goes inside, he's got. Oh, hello, Mr. Draymond Green.
Mm-hmm.
And
especially playing in that Western Conference too.
Yeah,
so many tough teams in there, and we'll see how things play out. Again, he's projected to be Oklahoma City's pick at number 2. Orlando has not really said what they're going to do at number 1. Thoughts are they're taking Jabari Smith, but they like Chet Holmgren to begin with. So we'll see how things play out here. For the draft. Of course, there's the question of A.J. Green from Northern Iowa. Haven't seen him on any mock drafts, but there is a chance that he's worked out for a number of teams that maybe he gets a call after.
Somebody must like him.
Yeah. Indiana. And you talk about potential for Keegan Murray and Tyrese Halliburton on the same team. Could you imagine all three on the same team? That would be fun to watch for sure if you're a fan of just basketball in general from the state of Iowa. So. That is the NBA draft this week with things getting underway on Thursday night. 319-366-1600. We'll get into some baseball, maybe a little football talk coming up in the second half of the show. Before we do that, we've got to get to an Eagles Hideaway scoreboard update.
Cedar Rapids Colonels are your first half West Division champions in the Midwest League. Colonels locked that up in dramatic fashion yesterday out at the ballpark. Congratulations. To the Colonels. Major League Baseball, one afternoon game, the Mets shutting out Miami 6-0 in the ninth. Iowa's freestyle and Greco-Roman teams, youth teams won national dual titles over the weekend, both in freestyle and Greco-Roman. So, terrific showing for the Iowa squad. Shout out to Sam Kinsley, former colleague, who is stopping by the studio today.
Oh, is he?
He works for Fox Sports Radio. Okay. He's in the studio, in the office, talking to Todd, and nice conversation with Sam. He knows the text line.
I see him on the text line.
Yes,
for a while. Yeah,
but great to. He works for the big guys now.
Yeah, yeah, the big dudes.
But good to see you,
Sam. Remembered us here. You know, it's a little KGYM, but. Appreciate that. I'll have to stop and say hello. I've been in the studio. I didn't know he was here.
Yeah. So, okay. TV's behind me. What's the update on College World Series?
They are in a commercial break right now. Stanford was up 2-0. Let's get an update there with the College World Series here this afternoon. Now Auburn has surged ahead. They lead 6-2.
That's an elimination game, right?
It is. Yeah. It is. Auburn lost to Ole Miss. But then Stanford got absolutely destroyed by Razorback Dale's Arkansas Razorbacks.
They're looking good, but they've got Ole Miss tonight, right?
17-2, yeah, Ole Miss and Arkansas. Should be a fun one tonight. I'm pulling for Ole Miss. I believe I've said that on the air before, but we'll see. We'll see how things play out tonight. Should be a fun one tonight in Omaha.
We're going to get to, I was going to throw Caden Proctor on the scoreboard, but we're going to get to that. After the break, I know, in addition to some baseball. Interesting things going on in baseball,
yeah, we got some,
as you know.
We got some important division series this week, and both central divisions, too. We'll get to that coming up on the other side of this break. It's the Gym Class here on KGYM. Spencer in for Scott, and Mark is here as well. Your thoughts, welcome on the Talker text line, 319-366-1600. That's coming up after this.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and it is going to be a hot and humid day today. We're going to have plenty of sunshine with temperatures in the low 90s. We will have a bit of a breeze out there, which will help it feel slightly better, but still a little sticky. Later on tonight, mostly clear and warm with temperatures just dropping down to a low around 70. Tomorrow, we'll have plenty of sunshine once again, temperatures in the low to mid 90s and heat index values in the triple digits with a chance for a few isolated storms in the late afternoon. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Good morning, boss.
Yeah, what's good about it? We're having computer problems again, and we can't get our work done.
Call the help desk?
You mean the hold desk?
Huh?
Every time I call, they put me on hold. Or tell me someone will call me back in a couple of hours. We don't have a couple of hours.
We need to get our work done. We need help now.
Oh, in that case, you need to call IT Solutions. They don't have a help desk.
Then how do we get help?
IT Solutions continually monitors their clients' networks so they find and fix over 70% of their technology problems before they interrupt the workflow. If your current IT company says they do that, then why do they need a hold desk for you to call to tell them about your technology problems? With IT Solutions, on the rare occasions their monitoring misses something, when you call, you get help now, never a hold desk.
We need to get our work done.
Learn more online at WeNeedHelpNow.com.
WeNeedHelpNow.com.
Just about the time Willa Dickens began as a watchmaker at Hertine & Stocker Jewelers, a romantic notion was blooming in 1940s America. The idea that a diamond, like love itself, is precious and lasting. More than ever before, proposals began including twinkling rings and velvet-lined Hertine & Stocker boxes. Decades of engagements and countless shimmering rings later, happy, nervous hands are still accepting these promises of always from Hertine & Stocker. The designs are always modern and fresh, but the service is still as exceptional as it was in those very early days. Perhaps that rare blend of present and past is the reason Hertine & Stocker has been voted Best Jewelry Store in Iowa City 10 years running. Stop and see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertine & Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
The John Deere Classic is coming. With new dates June 29th through July 3rd, we have fabulous new ticket options, an all-new Youth Day, great benefits for our military, fun new experiences, and free parking for ticket holders. You heard me right. Plus, all the world-class action you know and love. So you'd better get in on the excitement. Visit JohnDeereClassic.com today for your spot to see magic happen here.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
And we're back here at the gym class at 3:34. Spencer Wagon in for Scott Unash. Mark Dukes along for the ride as well. Producer Ben is here too, 319-366-1600. Todd and Alex, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming up between 4 and 6. Be sure you're listening twice a week for the Cubs Report, Tuesdays and Thursdays, as Todd highlights what's happening with the Northsiders. Cubs Report's brought to you by Hertine and Stocker Jewelers in Iowa City. Check them out at HertineandStockerJewelers.com or visit them on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in Iowa City. Todd and Alex will be in here between 4 and 6. I just missed Sam. He texted into the text line and says he has to leave. So, Sam, I will look for you some other time. Don't be a stranger.
He said he's going to be around for a couple weeks. He's got a wedding this weekend.
Okay.
And may have some time next week.
So. All right. I could use a guest in the 2 o'clock hour. If management allows it, Sam, you're welcome to pop in between 2 and 3. 319-366-1600. We'll get to some baseball, mention the Cubs, mention some significant series this week in the world of college baseball. Yes, one of them, but Major League Baseball as well. We'll get to that in just a bit. But some big, Mark, recruiting news for Iowa. They have to go up against one of the nation's best in a battle for a big-time recruit.
Indeed. Caden Proctor out of Southeast Polk has narrowed his choices to Iowa and Alabama. Not sure when Caden will make his decision, but sounds like he wants to make it before his senior season begins.
Right.
And we're going to get into this more with David Eichold of 24/7 Sports tomorrow. But, Spencer, this has all the underpinnings of another Ross Pierce Baker situation.
Yeah, it did.
Ross originally committed to Iowa.
Right.
Then flipped to Alabama. Proctor is not committed in one way or another, but it's a high-profile recruit, Pierce Baker from Cedar Falls. He won two national championships at Alabama,
right?
And started for 4 years. Hard to argue with that. Still knocking around in the NFL right now a little bit,
but Philly, right? Washington, Philly, one of those teams,
yeah. I think it's hard to – Iowa, as you know, has developed terrific offensive linemen, sent them off to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
That's a calling card for Iowa. Alabama's calling card is a mile long.
Right.
Does Proctor really – how good of friends is he with Xavier Wampa?
Right.
His former high school teammate who's at Iowa now. Would he like to join him? You never know what goes on in a kid's head. Alabama is Alabama, but staying in the state of Iowa has its merits as well, and Iowa's track record of developing linemen.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, there's that, and then there's the track record for Alabama, which has got rings, diamond rings. And not engagement rings. We're talking national championship rings with the Bama logo and multiple rings.
You can't wear those under your glove. And
No, you cannot. Like Graham Ashcraft tried to with the Reds. But it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Of course, Iowa fans know how it played out once before. They're hoping for better things. They're in the mix. That's huge, obviously, if it's down to the final two and it's your home state team versus Alabama. That's huge. It's much different if it were, you know, Iowa versus Iowa State for his services. The story that came out, he canceled visits to Oregon, Michigan, and Penn State and whittled it down to two, Iowa and Alabama. He's got a visit this weekend, Caden Proctor does, to Iowa City.
Big recruiting weekend for Iowa.
It is. And there's quite a few prospects, I believe, coming this weekend, too. So Boy, I think Iowa having Wampa helps because he can maybe make an extra pitch that, you know, the recruiting staff, you know, they obviously do a great job. They make their pitches. They're the pros of this. That's why they're in charge of their recruiting. But boy, I do not envy Caden Proctor. I don't envy any college or high school athlete that has to make a decision, especially a decision of this magnitude. I mean, you honestly can't go wrong. I mean, like, there's two great schools, you know, two great football programs. One has a ton of national championships while the other doesn't. And if you're focused on national championships and, you know, that is what you're focused on, you could see Alabama. But if you're focused on staying close to home, being with your friends and former teammates, you know, there's an argument to be made there too.
Does the how long is the coach going to be there come into play? So Nick Saban's 70.
Right.
And if Proctor's as good as advertised, he might only be in college 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So you got to think that both coaches will be around.
Right.
I don't think that's going to come into play, although it was brought up by someone I was talking to about this over the weekend, but I don't think that will come into play. It's good. Yeah, it's the Ross Pierce Baker story all over again, except Pierce Baker decommitted from Iowa and Proctor hasn't.
Right. So we'll see how this all plays out. Proctor did put out a statement, by the way, on Twitter, if you're curious, saying it was hard to cancel the visits I mentioned to Oregon, Michigan, and Penn State. He said he felt it was in his best interest to narrow down and focus on the ones I truly believe will get me to become better and put me on the right track to success. That was what he said on his Twitter account when he announced the decision.
33-49 on the text line. It's about family. It is for some.
It is, yeah.
For others, not so much.
For others, yeah. I
mean, it's about family, but right. Staying in close proximity isn't an issue for some of these kids.
Right. Some players absolutely want to be home. They want to be, you know, play in their backyard. And, you know, you look at kids from Cedar Rapids, Iowa City area that ended up going to the University of Iowa, you know. That's a big thing for them, whether it be for athletics or academics. It's true for any school. But for some, it's seeing new horizons. You know, it's getting to new experiences, getting to play for one of the best coaches and one of the best teams in the nation.
What about the kid from Western Dubuque playing for Ole Miss?
Yeah, Calvin Harris.
Yeah. Levi Usher playing for Louisville.
Right.
They didn't stay home.
There's a kid from Marshalltown on Louisville as well.
Mm.
You know, it's true wherever you go. Yeah. One of the best players for Clemson's baseball team, MLB draft prospect, is from Green Bay, Wisconsin. I mean, you go where they want you. You know what I mean? So yeah. It is what it is. So
now you have spring baseball in Wisconsin, right?
Yes.
Is it weird to see baseball going on right now in Iowa?
It is. Wisconsin used to have the summer option, but for whatever reason, the schools in Wisconsin, like, not unanimously, but, like, started migrating back to spring. And I mean, the first month of the season is a wash.
Yeah.
You're starting, like, your practice starts early March. Your first game is, like, the final, you know, week of March, first weekend in April. And we all know how upper Midwest weather is. You know, like, you're not, sometimes you lose a month and a half, you know, a month of games. You know, your first game isn't until like April 18th, you know, so it surprised me.
There, years ago, Iowa High School Baseball had three seasons.
Really?
Fall, spring, and summer.
Hmm.
And the fall was really like a lot of the smaller schools like Norway.
Sure.
Lansing Key and whatnot. I think some of the bigger schools partook, but it's been summer for a while.
Yeah, well, it's interesting to see, and it's fun to see, too. The kids get opportunities here in the summer and play on the teams, and you know, kind of bridges that gap between between spring sports and then into fall football time. But, yeah, it is different. That is for sure. 319-366-1600. Speaking of baseball, Let's get into the world of Major League Baseball. Interesting weekend around the bigs. I mentioned the Cubs, the Cubs report with Todd and Alex Tuesdays and Thursdays. Cubs, I said this on Spencer at Sports, Mark, on Friday. Something's got to give. The Braves came into Wrigley, 14-game winning streak. Cubs with a 10-game losing streak. And what do you know? The Cubs take 2 out of 3.
Yeah, how about that?
It's just crazy how that plays out. The White Sox lost 2 of 3 to Houston. The Cardinals lost 2 of 3 to Boston. And are now in a tie with the Brewers for first place in the Central Division. In the National League Central, that's because the Brewers swept the Reds. Not hard to do. No offense to Reds fans out there. They are playing better, but still not to the level that they probably could or should be playing. But the Brewers swept the Reds. Cardinals lost 2 of 3, so now they're tied atop the National League Central, and they play each other starting tonight for a 4-game series. Yeah. Season's not going to be decided tonight. Obviously, division championship not going to be decided tonight, but it's going to be interesting look about how the teams stack up against each other here in June.
Similar situation in the American League Central, where Cleveland has pulled within a game of the Minnesota Twins, and not coincidentally, these teams will play 8 games in the next 11 days. So we're going to maybe see some separation there, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
First 3 games are in Minneapolis beginning tomorrow night. So, yeah, interesting similarities between the two Central divisions.
It is. Both, I mean, you have the top 2 teams and then some weakness below them. And, you know, I mean, top 2 teams, I think everybody thought we'd be talking about maybe the White Sox and the Twins here in this season so far. Of course, the White Sox have dealt with a number of injuries. They've had their struggles this season. Questionable moves by Tony La Russa on the managerial side of things. You get the feeling if the White Sox can ever get healthy, they'll be right back into this. And maybe then it's a 3-team race. But you got to give Cleveland some credit because
they're playing really good.
I don't think anybody thought. I mean, they have some talent with Jose Ramirez. Some of the pieces they got from the Francisco Lindor trade have started to pull through. But I don't think anybody saw them challenging for the division. I think I had them pegged kind of below the White Sox, below the Twins. Maybe, I think for sure, a little bit better than the Royals. The Tigers have been dealing with injuries, too, especially their pitching staff, Casey Mize, needing Tommy John. But, both divisions, very top-heavy, the way to put it.
I think it's going to be very interesting beginning today. All teams in Major League Baseball cannot carry more than 13 pitchers.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think the Twins may have carried 16, 17 pitchers at one time. I know they've started at least 10 different starters
right
so far this year, and they're 38 and 30. So, but with every team carrying only 13 pitchers, what do you think? Is it going to, you know, managers may want to get a couple more innings out of their starters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, for teams that struggle with pitching depth, it's going to harm them, right? Because, mm-hmm. You know, like you said, you have a team that, you know, that uses so many pitchers. They have a beginner, you know what I mean? Like a guy who starts the game and they use him for maybe 3 innings. They, you know,
yep.
Play the matchups and change pitchers here and there. And yeah, that's going to be tough for teams like that. So, and especially, I know the Twins have had some injuries in the pitching side of things and hitting side of things too. Some illnesses and injuries. Of course, Royce Lewis had a promising debut and he's on the shelf for a full year. And
did get Sonny Gray and Joe Ryan back. So
yeah, that's good news there. Yeah. Chris Paddock, a guy they traded for on the eve of opening day, he wasn't like, you know, Cy Young level, but you know, that's another arm right there that you know, that is not on the on the roster for the Twins because of his injury. One quick note about the National League Central: Adam McCalvey covers the Brewers for MLB.com. He put this stat out earlier today, just talking about the Cardinals and Brewers in general. Both teams, the Cardinals and Brewers, mentioned they're battling in a battle for first place here this week, starting tonight. Both teams have done their damage against the Pirates and Reds this season, but are pretty average against everybody else. For the Cardinals, they are 12-4 combined between the Reds and Pirates, 26-26 versus everybody else in baseball. The Brewers are 13-2 versus the Reds and Pirates combined, and 25-28 versus everybody else in Major League Baseball. So if you're a Cardinal fan, you're a Brewer fan, no matter who you cheer for, you are praising the baseball gods for the Reds and Pirates here today.
How about this? Pittsburgh Pirates set to bring up, if they haven't already, O'Neill Cruz.
Yeah.
6'7" shortstop, left-handed batter, played in the Midwest League 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. But if he hasn't been called up already, that's the rumor out there that Pittsburgh's calling up this guy who's 6'7" at shortstop.
6'7" short. I read something, I think it was on MLBTradeRumors.com, that there's a prospect they have in their system. I want to say Leover Peguero for Pittsburgh. There is some talk that he might be the shortstop of the future if he can develop there. So O'Neill Cruz might move to the outfield, which makes sense to have a 6'7" mm-hmm. guy in the outfield. But you're going to see a 6'7" guy playing short for Pittsburgh. I believe he's set to make his debut against the Cubs tonight for Pittsburgh. Number of call-ups. Riley Green, he was one of the top players in top prospects in baseball, made his debut this weekend. And a story I shared last hour on Spencer on Sports, the Red Sox calling up Jeter Downs. How do Red Sox fans feel about having a guy named Jeter on their team?
Depends on how successful he is.
That's true. That's true. If he turns out to play like Derek Jeter, I'm sure they will feel fine. But Jeter Downs making his debut for the Red Sox here for the 2022 season. Some crazy stats too. We'll take a break here in just a moment and wrap up. But some interesting debuts yesterday. Gerard and Encarnacion. You see this for the. You mentioned the Mets and the Marlins. Encarnacion, his first career game, he hits a go-ahead grand slam in the seventh inning for Miami. And then Jack Sawinski, talk about the Pirates, 3-for-3 yesterday against the Giants. All three of his hits were solo home runs, including a walk-off winner to win 4-3. So crazy day for home runs yesterday. And for some of the young players, you talk about Pittsburgh and their prospects that maybe they'll trade down the line. It seems like that's how their front office is working.
The Kennedy kid from Arizona hit a grand slam on a 3-0 pitch against the Twins yesterday,
yeah.
and
mm-hmm.
that was his first homer, maybe first major league homer.
I think it was, yeah. So a lot of young guys getting the experience of a lifetime yesterday. I mentioned the Cubs are in Pittsburgh, Tigers are in Boston, Brewers and Cardinals tonight, White Sox hosting Toronto, and the Angels are hosting Kansas City.
A good series. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Should be some interesting ones. You mentioned Cleveland and Minnesota as well. We'll take a quick time out. Back to wrap up the gym class for a Monday. It's coming up next here on KGYM.
Just when it feels like smooth sailing, your IT person leaves and rocks your entire business boat.
Network overboard!
Now who's going to captain your IT ship? Network Computer Solutions. They're ready to hop on board and keep you on course. Whether you're a tiny rowboat or a giant ocean liner, Network Computer Solutions will keep your business cruising along with pricing options that won't make you feel anchored down. Network Computer Solutions is your IT safe harbor. Meet them now at ncsei.com.
Enjoy time with family and friends with help from Menards. The 23-inch steel fire pit from Backyard Creations is perfect for when you want to spend those beautiful summer nights around a campfire. It's portable, and the steel mesh cover helps keep sparks contained. Pick one up for only $29.99 after 11% rebate. Good through June 26th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
And we're back here at 3:54, the gym class. Wrap it up for a Monday. We're back tomorrow. Of course, gym class is here all week, but I'm sticking around tomorrow. Scott is off again tomorrow. We've got David Eicholt joining us tomorrow around 3:30 to talk all things Hawkeyes. We'll talk more about the Caden Proctor situation, get his insight. He's a recruiting guru. He's with 24/7 Sports, so he follows that really closely. Plus, we'll talk Keegan Murray with him too. And NBA draft. David will join us tomorrow just after 3:30 to break it all down for us. Appreciate his time. We'll chat with him tomorrow. Before we step out of here, Mark, the USFL, the regular season, much to my ignorance, I guess, is in the books for the USFL.
Knock me over.
It was still going on. Who'd have thunk it?
I think like you, I watched the first weekend out of curiosity.
Yep.
And haven't tuned in a second since.
Yeah. I've seen it on my TV guide.
Yeah.
Random nights out of the week, like looking for something to watch. And I've always chosen literally anything else.
Restaurant
Baseball,
Impossible.
Softball. Yeah. Restaurant. Gordon Ramsay's latest show. I don't know. Whatever. But yeah. USFL regular season is in the books.
What they did, the powers that be in the USFL did. Last day of the regular season yesterday, two teams were tied with only one win in the league, and they were matched up together, as luck would have it. And the USFL said, either one of you are going to tank this game.
Mm-hmm.
The winner of this game, not the loser, is going to get the number one overall draft pick.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
I like the
there
idea.
Was something to play for
right.
between Michigan and Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Michigan won that game
All right.
and earned the number one overall draft pick. But I thought that was a really interesting move on the part of the USFL.
It's a smart move because, again, if the loser gets the pick, just like you said, the league isn't stupid. They know what's going to happen here. So, certainly an interesting way to go about it. I know the NFL is looking for solutions to replace the Pro Bowl game. Maybe you have the two worst teams battle for the number one overall pick, and the winner gets it.
Is this league going to survive? I mean, they didn't allow fans in Birmingham, or did they?
They
and nobody
did.
Showed up.
They did. Well, it'd be interesting to see if, because they had all the games played in Birmingham.
Yeah.
All the teams. So Michigan and Pittsburgh, their game was played in Birmingham. So be interesting to see if they move them out of Birmingham, if they do come back for a second year. If they move them out of Birmingham and fans attend the games in the home markets, is there going to be a fan following? Are there, you know, Michigan fans out there?
I mean, there's no ticket sales. Are the TV rights enough?
Birmingham had a good showing because simply they were in town.
Yeah.
I think they had deals for kids and families and stuff like that, kind of like a minor league baseball situation, and that's perfectly fine. But, it's going to be interesting to see if they survive. Of course, a lot of things to be determined there. There is a playoffs going on as far as I'm aware. Will I watch? Probably not. But it's be interesting to see if the craze for an alternative to the NFL ends up surviving for another year, because so far things haven't.
I probably would watch the National Cornhole League.
Yeah.
Versus the USFL.
8699 chiming in, saying once the XFL starts, since it's tied to the NFL, that's a little bit more interesting.
Mm.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. So we'll see how things play out, but I did not know the USFL. I saw the highlights. Somebody mentioned it on Twitter. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. But it was not my viewing of choice this past weekend at all. That'll wrap it up for us. Mark, like we mentioned, David Eicholt joining us tomorrow at 3:30. We'll talk all things Hawkeyes with him, specifically recruiting side, and a little Keegan Murray talk, and anything else that pops up between now and then. We'll also review... We didn't touch on Stanley Cup Final. Game 3 is tonight. We'll get to that tomorrow as well. Colorado looks unstoppable. That is for sure. But we'll touch on that and more coming up tomorrow on the Gym Class. We'll talk to you then.
Sounds good.
For Mark Dukes, Spencer Wagon, in for Scott Unesh, Todd and Alex up next.
Cutting the price of your wireless bill feels good. Really good. Actually, it